This year is dedicated to Racha Leah Bas Rav Chaim Tzvi. In the last year, we discussed the topic of Kiddush Malchus Suda. Just to very briefly review, we saw that the Rashbam tells us there are two reasons. The Rashbam in Pesachim Daf Kuf Aleph, there are two reasons for the mitzvah of Kiddush Malchus Suda. One reason is v'karas l'Shabbos Oneg v'makom shatakori l'Shabbos shom tehei Oneg. We're supposed to have the Oneg Shabbos in the place of Kiddush, and it sounds like that's a din in Oneg Shabbos, that the Suda must be in the place of Kiddush, and it's halacha in the Suda proper. The other reason was a svara. The Rashbam brought a svara that a person should use a proper wine for Kiddush, not just a cheap, foul-tasting wine, but she's a nice wine for Kiddush, and therefore Chazal were koveh Kiddush Makom Suda, because a person brings out the best wine when he's having the wine as part of his meal. That's when he brings out the best wine to facilitate that, so we want to have Kiddush Makom Suda, and then it becomes a din in the Kiddush, not a din in the Suda. So we explained that this would seem to be explain the machlokas rishonim, whether the mitzvah of Kiddush Makom Suda, the halach of Kiddush Makom Suda, is a din de oraisa or a din de rabbanan. According to the Man Domer, says that din do raisa, so you have to argue that that's a din in Kiddush, because halach of Suda itself is only a din midivrei nevim, a din de rabbanan from Yeshayo HaNavi. It's not itself a din do raisa, and since it's not a din do raisa, you can't argue that Kiddush Makom Suda, if it was a din in Suda, would be a din do raisa. You'd have to say it's halach in Kiddush, like the second reason of the Rashbam. However, if you assume that Kiddush B'Makom Suda is a halach in Suda, then that would certainly avail itself of the other shita, that it's a din in Suda, therefore din d'Rabbanan. It could also be a din in Kiddush and be a din d'Rabbanan. It can go either way, but I think it's probably mukhrak to say it's halach in Kiddush if you assume Kiddush B'Makom Suda is a din d'Oraisa. And we also explained that the machlokas between the Gra and the Gaonim regarding what is it that you need for the mitzvah of Kiddush Makom Suda? What kind of Suda is required? The Gaonim have the position discussed in Reish Ayin Gimel Halacha Hey that you do not need a bread meal. You could satisfy with mezonos, even with a drink of wine, a meaningful drink of wine, enough to bank a bracha achrona. That could satisfy the halacha of Suda, whereas the Gra says you need a Sudas Pas. You need a bread meal to satisfy your obligation of Kiddush Makom Suda. So according to the Gra, that you need a bread meal, that would make sense, because if you assume that it's a din in the Suda, that the Suda needs Kiddush. So what is the Suda? The Suda is your bread meals, your two bread meals, the first two meals of the day, the Friday night meal and the Shabbos day meal. Those require bread. And those require Kiddush Makom Suda. The Gaonim, who say you can use anything, mezonos, any kind of food that requires a me'ein shalosh as the bracha achrona, so that could work better with the shita that says that it's not a din in Suda, but a din in Kiddush. There is a minhag ha'olam that it's not a din. The Magen Avraham says this is not the halacha, but there seems to be a minhag ha'olam that we are more makil, like the gaonim, during the daytime meal, where it's very common, we'll be in shul, and there'll be a kiddush after shul, we'll make kiddush, we'll have mezonos. Whereas at night, we seem to always end up making the Kiddush in the context of our bread meal, and we'll be following the Gra at night and the Gaonim during the day. Now, is this the halacha? Probably not. The Shmir Shav Chulchosa says that we Mikra din Paskim like the Gaonim, and this would apply even at night. He quotes the Magen Avraham in this fashion. And that's why, for example, Simchas Torah night, where davening takes a long time, we're dancing, we're making labedik, so there are many people who do make Kiddush without a bread meal. However, the Minhag Olam, Rav Schechter writes in Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, is that many people actually will only avail themselves of the sheet of the Gaonim during the daytime and make Kiddush with mezonos meal during the day, and only at night will they they'll follow the practice of the Gra, and the Kiddush is always connected to the bread meal. So what exactly would this split be based on? So one could say very simply, we're more machmer at night, because at night the Kiddush is d'oraisa, during the daytime it's only a din d'rabbanan. But perhaps Rav Schechter suggested, I believe he quoted his Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik on this point, is based on the Rambam, Machlokas Rambam and Ravid in Perek Chav Tes Halacha Yud. So the Rambam tells us that there is a halacha. He tells us the halacha of Kiddush Makom Suda, and then he tells us the aser lo la adam sheyitom klum kodem sheikadish. There is an iser of te'ima, of eating anything before Kiddush. We discussed that issue in the past, and then he says vegam kiddushel lo yel b'makom suda. This applies not only at night, but the Rambam here is telling us the halachos of the Suda Shnia, and during the Suda Shnia he says is a mitzvah of Kiddush. You have to make Kiddush. Notice, the Rambam will discuss this momentarily, but the Rambam says that in this Suda Shnia, mitzvah levarach al hayayin kodem b'yom haShabbos kodem shisa tzudishniya v'zeo hanikra kiddusha rabbah, and it's called kiddusha rabbah, the great kiddush. Now, the reason it's called the great kiddush is because, in fact, it's not really the great kiddush. The great kiddush is really the nighttime kiddush, the mitzvah d'oraisa. Today, during the daytime, is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, so Chazal gave it the appellation of the great kiddush, kiddusha rabbah, because they didn't want people to be mezalzel in this kiddush. But it's really only d'rabbanan, and the Rambam writes, mevarech at this kiddush, mevarech baruch piagafen bilvad, all you require, there's no bracha mekadosh haShabbos, all you need is baruch piagafen bilvad. And based on the minhag of the Rambam, there are those who specifically do not say the extra psukim of v'shamar v'yichulu, they just say the baruch piagafen, and that is the mitzvah of kiddush to be kaveh the suda. But the Rambam adds, at even during the daytime, at night for sure, you can't taste anything before you make kiddush, but even during the daytime, there is an isser, aser lo la'adam shitom klum kodem shikadesh. You can't eat anything before you make kiddush. We'll discuss this momentarily as well. V'kam kiddush zeh lo yeh ela b'makom suda. This kiddush also has halacha that it must be b'makom suda. So the Ravid comments over here, b'chai roshi, what are you talking about, Rambam? In misvara amra, if this is a svara that you can't eat before kiddush in the daytime, lo savar miyamav svara pechusa mizu. Very caustic language, there was never a lesser svara. He says, ain't no klum, you're allowed to eat before kiddush by day, there's no problem. No problem. At nighttime, mitzvah d'oraisa, you can't eat before nighttime kiddush, but during the daytime, you're allowed to eat. And that's the psak of the Ravid. You can eat, you're allowed to eat before the daytime kiddush. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that maybe our practice of making kiddush with a suit of mezonos during the day but not at night is really a tziruf, a combination of both of these shitos. It's like a sfeik of sorts. You see, according to the Vilna Gaon, if you make kiddush and then had mezonos as your suda, that's no good. You didn't satisfy kiddush makom suda. If you didn't satisfy kiddush makom suda, according to the Gra, you know what? You also were not yotzei kiddush. Well, if you're not yotzei kiddush, then you know what? You just ate before fulfilling the mitzvah of kiddush. That's aser. So at night, no one allows you to eat before kiddush. The Rambam doesn't for sure, the Ravid doesn't allow you to eat before kiddush. If that's the case, so then we understand why we're extra machmir for the sheet of the Gra. Only make kiddush with the suda's pas. But during the daytime, let's say we were lenient like the Gaonim. So we're leaning like the Gaonim, but let's say the Gra is correct. We made a mistake. The Gra really, Klapeshmaya, the Gra is the correct approach. Is that you really need a Sudas Pass. So what's the worst case scenario? Worst case scenario is you weren't Yotzei Kiddush. So what bracha did you make? Bar Pergaf, not a bracha batala, because you drank wine. So you made a bar Pergaf and you drank wine, and then you had a mezonos meal. So worst case scenario, you weren't Yotzei Mitzvah Kiddush. You weren't Yotzei Mitzvah Kiddush. Did you eat before David, before Kiddush? Were you violating the issue of eating before Kiddush? Well, here, during the daytime, you have the Ravid to rely on. So we don't pass like the Ravid, but as a tziruf. Maybe we pass like the Gaonim. But even if we don't pass like the Gaonim and the Gra's correct, but maybe the Ravid's correct. So you have a backstop position, and therefore, based on that, we are makil like the Gaonim during the daytime, and the minig is not like the Gaonim at night. This was what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. But if that's the case, then we come out with a nice little chumrah, which is Rav Moshe Feinstein also suggests like this, is that if you're saying kiddush and shul, and you're going to make kiddush and shul, you're going to have mezonos. So because we might be worried about the shita sagra, and we want to be choshesh for the shita sagra, so good, you were allowed to eat, and maybe you weren't yotzei kiddush though. Is there an issur of eating before kiddush? Yes, but we're going to rely on the Rav who says during the daytime there's no issur of eating before kiddush, but according to the Gra, again, you weren't yotzei kiddush. So therefore, when you get home from shul and you're going to have your regular Suda Shabbos, your bread meals, Rav Soloveitchik suggested that it might be a good idea to make Kiddush again, to be kaveh this Suda as a Suda Shabbos. Rav Moshe Feinstein also felt that way in the Tshuvos. This is discussed in Yoredeya, Chelek Beis, Simin Kuf Samach Gimel, also in Arachaim, Chelek Dalet, Simin Samach Gimel. And again, so it's a good practice. Even if you're Yotzei the midst of Kiddush and shul, many have the practice to come home. And even if everyone's already Yotzei, but to be Kover the afternoon Suda with Kiddush, and thereby, again, no problem, Brach Levatal, because all you're saying is the Baruch Pei HaGefen, and be Kover the Suda in that fashion. Now, given the fact that the Shulchan Aruch does pass like the Gaonim, so it is sufficient, Meikra Adin, and even at night, this is the minhag, certainly in Simchas Torah, of Klal Yisrael, to sometimes make Kiddush at night, even with just Mizonos. So Meikra Adin, you are Yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush, even with Mizonos, or with a meaningful amount of wine. So exactly how much has to be consumed. So here the Mishnah Berurah discusses in Reish Ayin Gimel, Sifkat and Chav Beis, and Chav Hei, he tells us you have to have a shear of Mine Targima, Chameshas Mine Dagan, a shear that is going to require you to make a bracha achrona. That's a shear of Kazayas. There is a din in the poskim whether the type of suda that you have to have, the type of mezonos, has to be pas habab a kisnin, something that has the capacity, if eaten, if you kaveh suda on it, to become bread-like. Or you can even be yotzei with any mezonos. For example, a Yerushalmi kugel, which is mezonos but not pas habab a kisnin, could be yotzei with that. We generally assume the consensus is the kugel will work. Any kind of mine targim, any kind of mezonos, satisfies. But it should be chameshes mine dagan. It should be things that you have to make a bracha achrona of ala michya for, not, for example, something rice-oriented. What about, however, when it comes to, so this can become an issue, by the way, for example, if you're making a Kiddush Pesach time, or Erev Pesach, Shecholios B'Shabbos, there's some kind of Kiddush that's being made, so then there's a real shortage of mezonos type of products that you can eat. So then again, you have to be wary of relying on this, you have to be sensitive to this. And then the Gaonim also say you can use wine. You can use wine. Now, how much wine has to be drunk? So the Pasha is Machlok, is between the Knesset HaGadolah and Rabbi Akiva Eger, whether you need a Revius, that's the amount of wine you need to make a Bracha Achron of Ala Geffen. But does that mean you need only Revius? Or do you need a Malei Lugmav? That's the amount you need for Kiddush. You have to drink a Shir Malei Lugmav, as we mentioned in the last year, plus Suda. Kiddush plus Suda. Kiddush is Malei Lugmav. Suda is an additional Revius, which would require Malei Lugmav plus a Revius. So that's a Machlokas. Ideally, you'll have at least a Revius. If you want to top it off with a little bit more, a Revius plus Malei Lugmav. This is what the Mishnah Berurah discusses in Sifkat and Chaf Zayin. He says, Shir Revius, V'yesham sheni yotzi de kishmak m'suda, afilosh yishta Shir Revius, rak tzarech, lishtos Revius Zayin, milvada kol shel kiddush. So the kol shel kiddush plus Revius Zayin, which seems to be the preferred view of the Mishnah Berurah. And he says, maybe the Kiddush by day, you can be more makel than at night, but these are the two issues, and you want to try and have a meaningful amount of wine. Now, there is this halacha that we've been talking about, Kiddush be makam suda. But the Ramah brings, in halacha gimel, of Simen Reish Ayin Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Kiddush v'lo sa'ad, if you had Kiddush, and you didn't eat, you're not yotzei Kiddush. Fine, we've discussed that. Then the Ramah adds, not only is there a din of Kiddush b'makom suda, but there is also a halacha of Kiddush b'zman hasuda. It's not just enough to be spatially in the place of a Kiddush, but you have to be temporally in the zman of the Kiddush. So Rama writes, v'tzarech lechol b'mkom Kiddush la'alter, immediately. O shei v'dato lechol sham miyad, ava v'lav hachi, afilu acha b'makom Kiddush, ene yotzei. In other words, if you had Kiddush, and then you're going to have a Suda, but in an hour from now, in the same place as your Kiddush, it's not good. You're not going to be Yotzi. You need Kiddush b'makom Suda and Kiddush b'zmana Suda. The Mishnah Berurah takes this very seriously. The Mishnah Berurah says, v'lo yafsik afilu zman katzar. There shouldn't be any hefsik. There should be a direct juxtaposition between Kiddush and the Suda. There shouldn't be any hefsek. One might even argue, I wouldn't take this too far, but one might argue, according to the Mishnah Berurah, that if one has the practice of benching his children, better maybe to bench the kids before Kiddush than to be mafsik with benching kids between Kiddush and the washing. And one should not engage in, you know, now start to make Kiddush, and then you're going to start to take care of Sidurim and take care of things. One should try and do this a direct juxtaposition. The Mishnah Berurah further says, "Alken lechatchila yizaher bazem od ach b'dieved." If a person, for example, had to use a facility, had to change a diaper, what have you, one should not be machmer to be mekadesh shenis. The Aruch HaShulchan here in Reish Ayin Gimel is a bit more liberal. does not seem to have the same stringency of doing this right away as the Mishnah Berurah does. But again, one should not dilly-dally or delay between the Kiddush and the Seuda. I guess what the Yekis do is they wash before Kiddush, then they make Kiddush right in time Otsi, so that very also accomplishes the idea of Kiddush Bizman HaSuda in a very direct way. There's no hefsek whatsoever. There can't be because they've already washed their hands. This does create an issue when it comes to Chag HaPesach, because on Pesach at Leila Seder, so we make Kiddush in the beginning of the meal, right up front, and then we're going to have a two-hour Magid. We're going to have a long, long time between Kiddush and the Magid. So here, some suggest that Ein Hachanami, that that's the way Chazal set it up, so it's obviously not a Hefsek, and therefore the Magid, it's all considered to be the Makom Suda, and since the Magid is part of the Seder HaLaila, it's also called Bizmana Suda, but that would mean that we really shouldn't engage in foreign chit-chat. We shouldn't engage in other topics other than the mitzvah halayla during this period of time, because we, as long as we're involved in the mitzvah halayla, in the mitzvah hayom of Magid, so fine. That's called the makom bizman asuda. But to start engaging in other kinds of involvements and discussions that are not Pesach-oriented, not Magid-oriented, would also breach this idea of Kiddush bizman asuda. What is called makam? What is called being in the same makam? So this has a lot of relevance in other areas of halacha as well. For example, if you want to be yotzei bracha, so you made a bracha in this makam, now you have a shinui makam, so can you rely on the bracha that you made in the first place, or do you need a new bracha in the new place? So there's a lot of halachas when it comes to makam. Just very simply, this is discussed in the beginning of Reish Ayin Gimel, and the Shulchan Aruch basically sets up a number of tiers, a number of levels. Ein kiddush ela b'makam suda. If you're in a large house, one bayis echad, a giant room. Even says the Shulchan Aruch, if it's a traklan gadol, a great big palace, you're making kiddush in a great banquet hall, and you're making kiddush, the wine is set up on one side of the room, but the food is on the other side of the room. So if it's all one big room, but it's you're under one roof, wall, four walls around you, that's called a single makom. That's considered to be a single makom. Obviously, ideally, you'll make the kiddush mamish in the same place as you're eating. But cheder gadol, one big large cheder, is called a single makom. Then, tier two, v'yesh omrim, there is a yesh om that says that if you are in going from one room to another, you're making kiddush in the kitchen, you're going then into the dining room to have your meal, so that's what we call mi-cheder le-cheder. In order for that to suffice, you need, number one, ro'eh. You need to be able to see from the place you're making kiddush in the kitchen to the place that you're eating in the dining room. Plus, you need kavana, that when you're making the kiddush, you're doing so al-das, that you're going to move to that new location. This is if you are under one roof, mecheder lecheder, moving from one room to another, mecheder lecheder, you need the ri'iya and the kavana. If you're going mibayis lebayis, from one house to another house, into under a totally different roof, so that really, really should be avoided. It's not to be done. And the Mishnah Berurah says, unless it's a shas hadchak, there's some real, real need, and then you at least need roa. You need the tziruf of roa that you can see from one bias to another. But ideally, these issues, you should really try and have the kiddush b'makom suda. There are a lot of details here. We won't go through them now, but take a look, if you want, at the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah in the beginning of Reish Ayin Gimel, and the Biur Halacha, who goes through a lot of these details. Okay, let us move on. I wanted to now move on to the kiddush during the daytime and discuss some of the interesting issues that arise when it comes to kiddush by day. Now, as we mentioned, so there's a minhag to say v'shamru and zachar, but me'ikar adin, the mitzvah of kiddush by day, as the Rambam told us in Perek Chavtes Halacha Yud, is just the bar pi hagefen. It's all you're required to say. And we mentioned also the issue of by saying al kein berach and just starting the kiddush with al kein berach, you do have the problem that the Mishnah Berurah cites to of saying a partial kiddush, which is saying a partial pasuk, and we try and avoid saying partial psukim. What is the purpose of this kiddush? Why are we making kiddush in the first place? After all, it's only drabbanan. And the mitzvah of kiddush, the prime mitzvah of kiddush, was already satisfied at night when we inaugurated the Shabbos. What's the role of this kiddush? The pashtus is, the role of this kiddush is to be koveya the suda. As we mentioned, there's an idea to establish that this is a suda Shabbos. And the second meal of the day requires the bookends as well. How do you know this is not just an ordinary nice family meal? But no, this is a suda Shabbos, so by being mekadesh the meal, by having one, it's koveya the suda as a suda Shabbos, by saying we'd say in the back end, that establishes this is a Suda Shabbos. Shalosh Shudas, maybe we don't have a Kiddush, one could argue, because the very fact that you're having an extra meal, a third meal, normally they only had two meals. And the fact we're having an extra meal during the daytime, not at night, but a daytime meal, so that already might indicate that we're having a third meal on this day, that already might indicate that this is a special Suda Shabbos, and therefore they didn't have this the practice of making Kiddush at the third meal. The Rambam does say that it's okay, one could have wine, and one ought to have wine even at the third meal, but certainly there is no din requirement to have wine at the third meal, because the mitzvah of Kiddush by day is only drabanan. So also we're more make on the shear of the coast, and here we assume the lower level shear of the coast of Revius, you need 3.3 ounces minimum. That was the view of the Grach Noe. Just want to spend a moment. We mentioned in the beginning of the shiur that one is not allowed to eat before Kiddush, when we discussed the issur of eating before Kiddush when it comes to the Friday night meal. So there we saw that the issur of eating before the Friday night Kiddush begins when you can make Kiddush. That is when you're mekabel upon yourself Shabbos. So now you have a chiyuv Kiddush upon you. Once you have a chiyuv Kiddush upon you, so you're not allowed to eat before you make that Kiddush. So for a woman, we said that was at the Zman Hadlakas Neros Shabbos. And for men, that's going to be when they're Mekabel Shabbos, either in davening, if they're Mekabel Shabbos early. But for the men, it's going to be at their Kabbalah Shabbos. That's when the Issur begins. What about the Issur of eating Shabbos in the morning before Kiddush? When does that Issur begin? So here the issue has a little bit of a nuance, which is very, very fascinating. Okay, in general, we know that there is an Issur to eat before davening. This is discussed in the Gemara Maseches Brachos and quoted Lahalach and Shulchan Aruch and Simen Pei Tes, that you're not allowed to eat, not only not allowed to eat, but also lisasik bitzrachav Simen Pei Tes Halacha Gimel, also lo lihisasik bitzrachav olelech laderech achis pal tfilas yurches. You can't involve yourself in your own activities before you daven shachris yishmona esrei in the morning. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, velo lecho velo lishtos afilu mayim. I'm sorry. You're not allowed to eat or drink. Aval mayim mutter. But you're allowed to drink water before tefillah. Bein bachol, bein bashabbos uviyomtov. So in general, there is an isser of achila and isser of shtia before davening. You're not allowed to eat or drink before davening. This has nothing to do with hilchos Shabbos. This is halacha in hilchos tefillah. Mayim is permissible. So we just said that the isser of eating before Kiddush now, begins when you have a chiyuv kiddush. Well, when do you have a chiyuv kiddush in the morning? Your chiyuv kiddush in the morning cannot begin before Shmona Esrei. Why? Because kiddush in the morning as well has a din of kiddush makom suda. Has to be recited by makom suda. If kiddush must be recited by makom suda, well, I can't have a suda before davening. That's prohibited. I can have water, but I can't have a suda. And if I can't have a suda, then I can't do kiddush. So therefore, the mitzvah of kiddush does not begin until after Shachris, until after I've davened. That's the halacha. And therefore, is one allowed to drink water before davening? The answer is yes. Is it a problem before Kiddush? The answer is no problem. Okay, good. What about drinking tea before davening? Coffee before davening? Is that mutter? So you have an interesting progression in the halacha. The Mishneh Berurah came up with a liberalism. The Mishneh Berurah says you want to drink tea or coffee before davening. That's just flavored water. What is it if not flavored water? Water is mutter. Tea, coffee is mutter as well. But not to drink milk with it. No sugar. That's already gaiva. That's already what you want, what you need. And therefore, the Mishneh Berurah does not sanction putting sugar into your tea, putting sugar into your coffee. That he doesn't sanction. What does he sanction? Well, it can be bitter tasting, so you can take a sugar cube, put it in your mouth, in between your teeth, and pass the coffee through that, and that'll at least minimize the bitterness. That's going to be mutter before davening. So that you can do. That was the kula, if you will, of the Mishneh Berurah. V'teva kafe mutter lishtos kol tefillah kadei shiyuchal lechavin da'at lispal. Since you need it to wake you up, and it's going to help you with the kavanah, that you can do. V'kol zeh b'lo tzukar u'b'lo chalav. This is Sifkat and Chavbez and Simen Peites. And then he writes, V'olam no'agin lo'hakel lishtosim tzukar v'efshet kavanah sa'achronim. That with sugar, he says, the minhag is to be makil, but he says one should put a little bit of sugar in your mouth and then drink it in that fashion. That is the best thing to do. The Aruch HaShulchan says, don't worry, you can put the sugar in your cup, you can put the sugar in your coffee cup, in your teacup, that's okay, but milk, Milki says that's already a shtiya shel gaiva, that is prohibited. And Rav Yashiv is quoted in the Sefer Tefillah Kilchasa saying today, even milk is not a drink of gaiva, it's just how you get the coffee down, it's just to wake you up for the day, for the davening, and therefore that would be permissible as well. So to drink these beverages before tefillah, tea, coffee, would be certainly mutter. There is an interesting chumrah, however, that emerges for women, because we know when it comes to men's chiv and davening, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Chav says men are chiv and davening, for sure, even women are chiv and davening, because tefillah is rachameh, and women also need rachameh, also need mercy, women are also chiv and davening. The Mishnah Berurah Paskens in Siman Kuvav, that men are chayv in tefillah shachris and tefillah mincha, and ma'ariv, although a reshus, kibla alei kechova, we accepted ma'ariv as a chova as well. What about the obligation of women? So the Mishnah Berurah says that women are chayavos in tefillah shachris and mincha, but the reshus of ma'ariv, which men accepted upon themselves as a chova, women did not accept upon themselves. That's when it comes to ma'ariv. Women are chayavos in shachris and mincha, and that's fine. There is a Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham said, look around, however, the women, this is the Magen Avraham in Siman Kuvav, women did not daven. During the time of the Magen Avraham, women did not daven. What was their basis? Why did they not daven? So the Magen Avraham says the reason women did not have the practice of davening was because they were relying, they were passing the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam in that Gemara in Brachos Daf Chaf says that that women who are chayavos in tefillah, his girsa is not because tefillah is rachameh and women also need rachamim, but the Rambam's famous position, Hilchos Tefillah Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, is that the mitzvah of tefillah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and it can be said any time during the day. It is not time bound. You can daven, any davening, the text, no text min haTorah, time, no time min haTorah, once a day, every day, a person has an obligation to daven. If that's true, then tefillah, according to the Rambam, is not a mitzvah ase shazman grama, and women are chayavos in tefillah d'oraisa. What do they have to say? Well, the same as men have to say min haTorah, a tefillah ba'alma, maybe a tefillah that has some shevach hoda, a simple tefillah, nothing too elaborate. Midrabanan, the rabbis were mechayev men to daven shachris, mincha, and ma'ariv. That already is a mitzvah ase shazman grama, and women were not chayavos in those tefillos. This is the view of the Rambam, and this is the Magen Avraham's explanation. Why do women, we don't find the women daven shachris and mincha, says the Magen Avraham, because they are relying on the view of the Rambam. That what? That all women have to say is a tefillah kol shehu. And he says, of course, when the women in the morning, they wash their hands until siyadayim, certainly they daven Hashem that they should have a good day, that their family, that their children should learn well, should have a good day, that there should be parnas in the home. There's some kind of tefillah that they introduce their day with. Maybe they're saying Birchas HaTorah, as the Shulchan Aruch requires in Siman Mem Zayin. They're making some kind of tefillah in the beginning of their day, and that satisfies their obligation of tefillah. That's why the women didn't daven more elaborate tefillos. The Magen Avraham at first blush is a big kula. Women don't have to daven shachris and mincha, unlike the position of the Mishnah Berurah. That's a very big kula. But Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Tshuva, says it's a kula. For sure, but it's a kula that has a tzad chumrah. What is a tzad chumrah of this position? That is, for example, when it comes to Shabbos and the mitzvah of eating, or the isser of eating before Kiddush. Because after all, if a woman just has to say the tefillah kaldu of the Rambam, so when she wakes up, she washes negovas, she says that tefillah kaldu, she has satisfied her obligation of tefillah. Now that she's satisfied her obligation of tefillah, there's no isser of eating anymore. That's a big kula too. No isser of eating. But now that there's no isser of eating, guess what? There's a mitzvah of kiddush upon her. Once she has the mitzvah of kiddush upon her, she cannot eat anymore. She cannot even drink these drinks that we said were mutter before davening. Yeah, they're mutter before davening, but they're not mutter before kiddush. And therefore, she would be required to make kiddush before she engages in achila, kiddush makom suda, and the various aspects that we saw. So a woman who is relying on the Magen Avraham and not davening the tefillos, shachris and mincha, then she's going to have that chumrah when it comes to Shabbos. I understand, I read a while ago that the Beis Yaakovs, where they, in Eretz Yisrael, where they, the women, the girls, will eat breakfast at home and then go to school and daven. So again, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Paskin, yes, they can rely on the Magen Avraham, on the Rambam, to do that. And because when they wash their hands, they'll say some Birkas HaTorah, Birkas HaShachar, they'll say something in the morning, they'll be Yotz the Mitzvah Tefillah, then eat some breakfast, and then come to school for the full davening, and that would be mutter, the issur of eating before davening, would not be a problem in light of this psak. Okay, so that's an interesting aspect that arises when it comes to the Kiddush in the morning. When a person does daven Shachris at that point in time, after Shachris, he's allowed to eat, even before Musaf, and that's when he wouldn't be allowed to taste other foods. So if there's a Kiddush, an Ofruf in Shul, they're throwing candies, certainly the adults should not be eating the candies before they make Kiddush. Okay, when it comes to Kiddush in the daytime in Shul, so there is a very popular minhag, which is really not so simple at all, to use whiskey for Kiddush. So this raises a number of issues. Number one, are you allowed to use what's referred to as Chamar Medina? Is the drink, the beverage of the Medina, the popular beverage of the Medina, is that permissible for the mitzvah of Kiddush? So the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah discuss this in a number of places. First, we'll take a look at Simen Reish Ayin Beis, which discusses Al-Eze Yayin Mekachin, which Yayin can you use? And the Shulchan Aruch writes in Reish Ayin Beis Halachates, B'makom She'ein Yayin Matzui, when there's no wine available, Yesh Omer Mishnah Mekachin Al-Sheikhar, Ushar Mashkin. You can rely on beer or other mashkin, chutz min ayayin, but you should not rely on water. Water is not a chash of a drink. Beer is. And this is the halach of Chamar Medina, to use a popular drink in the Medina. Beer used to qualify, says the Shulchan Aruch, however. Let's read the words carefully. B'makom she'ein yayin matzui. When does this tier two beverage, when is it permissible? If wine is not available, then mekachin al hashechar, or other chamar medina. You also find this discussed in Reish Pei Tes, Halacha Beis. This is the Kiddush in the morning, where again the Shulchan Aruch writes, B'makom she'ein yayin matzui, have a shecher ushar mashkin chutz min amayim, chamar medina umekachin alav. And then he says, "V'im ein lo shecher shar mashkin, you don't make kiddush on wine. You don't make kiddush on bread, because bread is nothing special. You always open a meal with amotzi lechem and aretz. You need some kind of special beverage. Then you eat below kiddush." But again, he says, "B'makom she'ein yayin matzli. If there's no wine available, then you can rely on the tier two. I'm relying on this chamar medina." So what qualifies as Chamar Medina? So there is a bit of a discussion whether tea, coffee, juice, whether this qualifies as Chamar Medina. And there are those who assume yes, Yesh Matirin, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Shut Machaz Eliyo. These psakim are recorded in the Sefer Pischei Tshuvos on page Nun. Number of poskim that tell you that coffee is a Chamar Medina and you could make Kiddush on it. And then V'yesh Olsrim. And then there are those who say that these are not valid. You have to have something that is a special kind of beverage, something perhaps intoxicating, something that has a certain chashivas, perhaps like beer. That would be Chamar Medina, but these kind of beverages do not qualify. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Chel Dalat Simen Ayin Hei, felt that one should only rely on these kinds of beverages, only Bishas Hadchak, when there's no yayin, there's no pas, then you can rely on these kind of beverages, otherwise not to. The concept is, what qualifies as a Chamar Medina, and why soda generally is assumed not to be a Chamar Medina, is we're looking for a kind of drink that you don't just drink because you're thirsty. Soda, you're thirsty, you drink with any meal, you drink because you're thirsty. We're looking for something that is a special drink that you'll inaugurate the meal with. That's why the pasuk says milk does not qualify. And even coffee and tea is somewhat questionable. A special drink that you're going to establish this meal as a special meal with. Even today, juices and the like do not really qualify as that kind of drink. Maybe, again, an intoxicating beverage would, be Chamar Medina. But otherwise, again, the kind of popular drinks that we drink with any meal would not usually, you know, we try and discourage as a Chamar Medina. But let's talk about whiskey, because that raises the issue. Number one, it sounds from the Shulchan Aruch only if Yayin is not Motzi. That's the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishnah Berurah in Reish Ayin Beis makes this point explicitly. Reish Ayin Beis, Sifkat and Chavtes, Aval Yayin B'makom Shu Motzi. If you have yayin that is matzoi vada yevarech alav, then that's certainly preferable. Afilu bayom, even during the daytime when kiddush only drabanan, you should make the kiddush on that yayin. But then he says, umikam akum b'medina senu shayayin b'yoker. V'rov shtiyas ha-medina hu mishar mashkin. Then he says, where wine was very expensive and everyone used to drink beer as their primary drink, then lo noagu afilo ha-gadolim. He says, even Gedolei Yisrael used to drink for the Kiddush by day, which is only Drabbanan. They used to drink these other beverages, or beer, for example. And he says at the end, it's preferable wine. But he says, even Gedolin, where wine was expensive and somewhat hard to get, they would rely on Chamer Medina, on Sheikha. Then he writes his file, Sifkat Lamed. V'im chaviv lo yain saruf. If whiskey is chaviv, yachol l'chadesh alav bayom l'chatchila b'medina, same as Chamer Medina, then by day, even l'chatchila, you can use whiskey if it's chaviv alecha, if it's something you like a lot. Ach. But then he says a big qualification. Ach. She zoher lika kos machzik revius felishos mimenu mole lugmav. Shuro revius, wow. But he says, when you still have the halacha revius and mole lugmav, so when you fill up that cup, not a shot glass, a 1 ounce shot glass, 3.5 ounces, 3.3 ounces, a nice big cup of revius, make kiddush on that, and then mole lugmav. I hope you can get home to join your family for the Suda. But this is what the Mishnah Berurah says. You should have achizor likakos machzik revius lishos menu male lugmav shiro revius ubidiyeved o b'shasat chaksh and a yachal lishos k'male lugmav. You can't take the male lugmav down and you don't have shah mashkin. Then you can pass it around to the mesubin as we saw. But the Mishnah Berurah does not seem to make any dispensation for using a kos that's less than revius. So you can have your whiskey, fill up the cup all the way. This might make many people very happy. But the Mishnah Berurah doesn't seem to allow to sanction the shot glass. So where does that come from? We know the minhag of many people is to use a small shot glass. For kiddush, the average shot glass only holds a revius of yayin. So this, to get a handle on this, we'll briefly take a look at a very fascinating sugi in Maseches Brachos, Daf Lamed Tes. And it goes to the nature of shiurim in general. How do we view shiurim? How do we approach shiurim? And again, it'll be a little bit of a tangent, but we'll certainly bring it back home to try and resolve and at least justify the minhag ha'olam, even though it seems to me that the better practice would be to try and use wine and certainly to have a kos that has the full shear. But the minhag is perhaps based on the following. The Gemara says, describes the Bavli, Maseches Brachos, Dav Lamed Tes, describes the practice of Rav Yochanan, who ate a zayas. He ate an aleph. That's what he ate. And Rav Yochanan, for eating a zayis, he made a bracha achrona. So Gemara says, he shouldn't have done that lechora. Why did he make a bracha achrona for eating a zayis? After all, an olive, an average olive, yeah, I guess it has a shiv kazayis, so there should be chayv in a bracha achrona, but the average olive has a pit. And he didn't eat the pit, presumably. He didn't eat the pit, so how did he have a shir kazayis when he ate a zayis? Batzah le shi'ura. So the Bavli gives the following answer, even though, yes, your average zayis without the pit doesn't have the proper shear, but he didn't eat your average zayis. He ate not a zayis benoni, but a zayis gadol. He ate a very, very big kazayis, a very big zayis. Even if you took out the pit, it had basar, it had flesh, it had fruit that had the proper shear. That was Rav Yochanan in the Bavli. Now, if you look at the Yushami records this little story of Yochanan a little bit different. The Yushami says that Rav Yochanan's zayis was pachos mikazayis. It wasn't a big shear. The Yushalmi, however, says he was chayv in a bracha achrona. Why? Because he ate what's called a beria. He ate a complete entity. And even though it was less than a kazayis, but it was a complete entity, kibriyaso, it was an entity as it is created, as it is grown. He ate the complete thing. And since he ate a complete thing, even if it didn't have a shear, he was chayv in a bracha achrona. He was chayv to make a bracha achrona. Tosis on the spot, Daf Lamed Tes, Bartalei Shi'ura, has a lengthy discussion. Is this Yushalmi? Does the Bavli fundamentally disagree? And it learns Rav Yochanan's case fundamentally different as a case where he ate a full shear, because a beria you would not be chayv in a bracha achrona whatsoever. Or maybe the Yushalmi disagrees. Maybe the Yushalmi says, I'm sorry, maybe the Bavli agrees with the Yushalmi, just gave a different ukimta, give a different case to explain Rav Yochanan, but in principle, the Bavli also has an idea of a beria. In fact, the Bavli does have an idea of a beria. We know, for example, in the sugyas in the end of Maseches Makos, if a person eats an ant, a bug, a small little bug, so he's chayev, potentially multiple chatos, or multiple malkas for eating a small little bug. Now, generally, the shira achila is a kazais. But the Gemara there says that even though you didn't eat the full shear, you didn't eat a shear of many, many ants to reach that shear, but an ant, if you ate a whole ant, that's a beria. That's a complete entity, and you'll be chayev malkas for eating a complete entity. The Gemara has this, for example, by eating giranoshe. If you eat a very, very small giranoshe, that is a beria, because the Torah identified, don't eat giranoshe. And it didn't just say basar giranoshe, where you need a kazayis, but giranoshe is an entity in and of itself, and if you eat that, you're going to be chayev. So the question Tosis has over here is, does this concept of berry, which applies in other areas, even according to the Bavli, does it apply to bracha achrona? When Chazal were kovei that you have to have a shir, kazayis for bracha achrona, I would put the question in the following sense. Did Chazal say that the shir is a formal halacha, and that the din of berry does not apply a formal halacha of mamashay kazayis, or did Chazal say no, that this halacha, the idea of a kazayis, is an achila chashuva, that you have to bench an achila chashuva and a meaningful amount of achila? What's normally meaningful? Normal meaningful is a shir, a kazayis. But if you have an entity that is kibriyaso, that is chashuv, in and of itself, even less than a kazayis, because that's how it's created, you ate the whole entity, that's called an achila chashuva as well. That's the Yushami. The Yushami says, shiurim are not formal halachos, but rather, shiurim have a certain elasticity to them. They define an achila chashuva. A berry is also an achila chashuva. The Bavli might be suggesting that specifically, shiurim require, at least for bracha achrona, a formal shiur, and if you don't satisfy that formal shiur, you're not going to be chayv in a bracha achrona. These are the two deos in Tosis, whether the Bavli fundamentally disagrees with Yushami, or no, basically agrees to the idea of a berry. Interesting that in the examples that are given in Tosis, quoting the Gemaros, so he quotes the example, what is the din if you ate preda achas shel rimon, or a preda achas shel anav, you ate a single grape or a single rimon? Seed of a rima. So it's interesting because these examples are examples of peros, the shivas haminim, that have inherent chashivas. The case in the Gemara of the zayis of Rav Yochanan, also shivas haminim. It could be that when the Torah identifies those shivas haminim, zayis and rima, and the case of the anovim, so then you might have a din of a beria. In fact, the Gemara talks about a chita as well being a beria. That's the Gemara in Maseches Makos. Also shivas aminim. However, when you're talking about, for example, a blueberry, so maybe the halacha beria does not exactly apply when it comes to the din of a blueberry. That's a discussion that the Pnei Yoshua has on this sugi. It's not for us right now. But what seems to emerge is a fundamental machlokes, how you understand the Bavli, is the halacha of beria. Is the halacha of shiurim formal halacha, that you have to have the shiur, and if you don't have the shiur, even if you have an achila chashuva short of the shiur, you're going to be not chayav in bracha achrona, or that there's a certain elasticity, achila chashuva can come in one of two ways. It can come via eating the full shiur, or it can come via eating a beria. Those are two ways you can reach this result. We'll just mention it very, very quickly, but this issue will come back to a lot in Hilchos Shabbos, because when we look, for example, at a number of different sugyas, just very briefly, it's interesting that the Gemara talks about in Daf Kuf Dalet, Maseches Shabbos, talks about the shir shtei osios. You have to have two osios to be chayav mishum kosef. What if you wrote one letter, L'hashlam es ha-sefer, and that's the last letter of the book, the last letter of the sefer. So the Gemara says Yechayev. It doesn't say why Yechayev, but it says Yechayev. Now the simple reading is that Yechayev mishum kosef. Why Yechayev mishum kosef? Because that's called a ksiva chashuva. Normally speaking, ksiva chashuva requires two letters. But if it's the last letter of the book, that's called a ksiva chashuva. Like the Yushami, similar idea. That's considered to be a meaningful act of ksiva. Interesting, Rashi might resist this pshat, because Rashi emphasizes there that when you write that last letter of the book, you're chayiv. But what kind of book are we talking about? Rashi says we're talking about one of the Chaf Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. And when you have a sefer that is incomplete, one of the Chaf Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, that's puzzle. So that's an issur to have in your home that shouldn't be in your bias, an avla, a sefer that's corrupt, that's not complete in that fashion. So Rashi emphasizes that when you're fixing that sefer, you're accomplishing two goals. Number one is you're solving this issur of having an avla in your house, corruption in your house. Also, you're violating kosev. It could be that because this is a meaningful act in Kol HaTorah Kula, that you don't have an avla in your house, and you're saving yourself from that issur, that's why this is called a ksiva chashuva when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. We might touch upon that a little bit later. Maybe we'll open with that a little bit in the next shiur. But just to finish up this topic very quickly, so you have this two deos in the Bavli, in Tosis, how you understand the Bavli. Achila requires a formal kazayas, nothing less. I don't care if it's a barrier or not. Or the Bavli subscribes to the Chiddush of the Yushami of a barrier. So comes along the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Yud. And the Shulchan Aruch brings both deos. The Shulchan Aruch writes over here, Ha'ochel pachos mi kazayas, be mi pas, be mi shar ochlin. If you eat less than the kazayas, or you drink less than revias, so you make a bracha rishona, birchas hanenin, v'yesh mistapchin. However, when it comes to bracha achrona, there's a suffix. If you eat a davar shu kibriyasa, a birya, could go on gaga shel enav, a single grape, or a single seed of a rimon, there's a suffix whether you make a bracha achrona. He brings a suffix, the two days in Tosis. So what do you do in a situation of suffix brachos? The answer is very simple. In a case of suffix brachos, what do you do? Well, yeah, we usually assume the kula, but here it's a little different. If you can avoid the suffix, that's always better. So either eat half grapes, don't eat a berya, eat half grapes, and that's fine. Then you're not having bracha achrona according to anyone. Or eat enough to put you over the top of a kazayas, and it'll be chayv in a bracha achrona according to everyone. But ideally, you will try and avoid the suffix. That's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Comes along the Mishnah Brura. And the Mishnah Brura says this is going to be very, very relevant when it comes to hot drinks. Because when it comes to hot beverages as well, you have the same issue. The shir shtia, to be chav in a bracha achrona, the formal shir we assume is a revius. You have to drink a revius. Now the revius has to be drunk relatively quickly. Kadesh shtias revius, a couple of gulps. If you don't drink the revius in a couple of gulps, so you're not going to be chav in a bracha achrona. So where does it become relevant? Comes relevant when it comes to hot drinks, because hot drinks, by their very nature, have to be sipped. You can't drink them fast. You can't drink them in one or two gulps, three gulps. It has to be sipped slowly. So you're going to drink that revius of coffee, tea, or soup in a manner that's going to be a lot longer than shtias revius. But on the other hand, that is the derech shtiaso. That is considered a shtia chashuva. When you sip your tea over the course of 20 minutes, that's called the normal way of drinking tea, that's called a shtia chashuva. So this, says the Mishnah Brura, could very well depend on the two days in Tosis and understanding that machlok is bavin Yerushalmi. According to the Yerushalmi, that's called a normal act of shtia. That's a shtia chashuva. And therefore, go ahead and drink in that fashion and you'll be chayiv in a bracha achrona, analogous to the case of beria. Beria is an achila chashuva. You chayiv in bracha achrona, says Yerushalmi. Drinking tea over the course of time, that's a shtia chashuva, you'll be chayiv in a bracha achrona, according to the Yerushalmi. But if you hold no, these are formal shiurim. You can't play with the shiurim. These are formal halachos. So that's the other day in Tosas that on a beria, less than a kazayas, no bracha achrona. By the same token, if you sip that tea, bottom line is you did not have the revius. Tol kadesh shir, shtias revius, there is no bracha achrona recited. So says the Mishnah Brura, that this also should be dependent on this machlokas. He says that machlokas rabba ben aposkim, if you have to make a bracha achrona or not. Some say this is found in Sif Katan Aleph in Simen Reish Yud. Some say you shouldn't make a bracha achrona, some say you do. And then the Mishnah Brura concludes, since the suffix in din, va'anshe maase, what the anshe maase do is again in Hilchos Brachos avoid the suffix. How do you avoid the suffix? Well, you'll sip your tea, but then, as it starts to cool off, leave over a revius of tea left over, and then that you can gulp down in one, two, or three gulps, and then you've drank a shir revius, tol kadesh shtias revius, and then l'chol adeus, you will be chayv in a bracha achrona. But if you drink the whole revius, sipping it over time, you'll be in this suffix bracha situation. Bavli Yerushalmi, and says the Mishnah Brura, you should try and avoid that suffix. If you can't, if you didn't, then suffix brachos lahakel. But one is entering into that machlokas when it comes to shtia chama. Okay, again, we're talking about whiskey. So what does this have to do with whiskey? So this could be the answer to the minhag ha'olam. Because if you look a little step back in Siman Kuf Sadi in Shulchan Aruch. Here the Shulchan Aruch tells us when it comes to drinks. So again, we mentioned there's a suffek, whether suffek Rishonim, Machlokes Rishonim, whether the shear for drinking is parallel to Kazayas, as you find by Achila or Revius. We paskin, that's a suffek in Din. We only make a bracha achrona on a Revius. Fine. Then the Mishnah Berurah cites a machlokas between the Taz and the Magen Avram. Let's say you have a beverage, a drink, whose derech, the normal derech, is not to drink Revius. You don't drink Revius of this kind of drink. But everyone drinks this smaller amount. Is that required in a bracha achrona? Do you have to make a bracha achrona on that? So the Taz, based on the discussion we just had by Beria, based on the discussion we had by hot drinks, the Taz says that if you have yayin saraf, you have whiskey, whose derech, whose very nature is to drink small quantities. You don't drink a revius of yayin saraf. You drink an ounce, a much smaller amount, maybe 2 ounces maximum, 2 shots, that's it. So that's the derech. That's called an achila chashuva. The shi'urim that you find with bracha achrona, says Yushami, are not formal shi'urim. They have a certain elasticity depending on the context. The beria, that's achila chashuva. Hot drinks, even if it takes time to drink that drink, but you're drinking the revius over a larger extended period of time, that's called nachila chashuv. It's a meaningful act of shtia. Says the Taz, that's exactly the same thing when it comes to yayin saraf. When it comes to whiskey, even a shot, an ounce and a half of whiskey, that's already a shtia chashuva. And if you drink that down quickly, you'll be chayv in a bracha achrona. The Magen Avraham disagrees. The Magen Avraham says that you do not make a bracha achrona unless you have the formal shear. And the Mishnah Berurah paskins owed his scheme with the Ein Chiluk. His psak is Ein Chiluk ben Shar Mashma ben Yayin Saraf. Afa pid be Yayin Saraf mi yasva da'ate. You become satisfied it's Nachila or Shtia Chashuva, even Pachos Mirvius. De lo chilku chacham b'shiran. We don't have, we do not make distinctions. The shir is a formal shir revius, and that's the end of the story. And he says, Udelo, kehataz lekamen besif reish yud. This is not like the Taz and Reish Yud, who says you do make a bracha on the hot drinks, and like the Yushami, you make a bracha on a beria, and you'll make a bracha achrona on yayin saraf. But what is the basis of the minhag ha'olam? So the Minhag HaOlam is certainly based on this Taz. It's based on the Taz with the Prima Gadim writes as well. Other Achronim say the Minhag, a lot of Hasidim have the practice, they make Kiddush on Schnapps. You don't have a Shir Kos. There's no Shir the Kos. We need a Revius. But since this is the Derech, this is the normal fashion by which a person drinks these beverages, so since this is the normal fashion for doing so, that's why the Taz will tell you, yes indeed, you can make a Bracha Achron on it. And once you can make a bracha achrona, why? Because it has a din of a shtia revius. It's called a shtia chashuva. Once it's called a shtia chashuva for bracha achrona, so it certainly has the requisite shear. That's a meaningful shear of mashke. Once the meaningful shear of mashke, so then you can also make kiddush on it as well, even though your kos is not mashke revius. So what we have over here, just to summarize, is in the ideal fashion, at least it seems to me, that one should only rely on using Chama Medina if you don't have Yayin Matzah. That seems to be the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Peites and Reish Ayin Beis. The Mishnah Berurah corroborates that reading. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, if Yayin Saraf is Chaviv Alecha, you like it much, much more than wine, so then you can use Yayin Saraf. The Mishnah Berurah says, really, you should have a full Shir Kos, a Kos Revius. It's going to start getting expensive, costly, and probably the wise might not be too happy either. But if in that situation, again, for those who have the practice of making Kiddush on just a shot glass, so that's based on the Taz, based on the idea that that also is called a Shtia Chashuva, and that is certainly what the L'chor, what the Minog is based upon. Okay, we'll stop here. That's essentially wraps up the mitzvah of Kiddush. Be'ez Hashem, next time we will work on the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah and Suda Shabbos.